Most of you, I'm sure, have spent time in railway stations, bus depots, or in airports. And you've perhaps sat there for some time and you've watched the people as they've departed, or you've seen them as they've come in through from customs there. You know how it feels if you're coming out as though you're on display. And as the people sit there waiting for their friends, you know, you see these people coming out and it's almost as though you're watching animals in a zoo. And you wonder about them, don't you? There's a family. The children run up to greet an elderly couple waiting for them. Obviously, they're there to visit grandparents. I wonder where they've come from. They come from overseas or just somewhere else in this country. Wonder how long they'll spend there. Or you see a professional man. There he is in his suit and carrying a briefcase in his hand, and his wife's there to greet him, or you assume that she's his wife anyway. And you wonder perhaps where he's come from. Who does he work for? Does he work for himself, or is he someone high up in some major organization? Or there's that young man coming through. Doesn't appear to know anyone. Off he goes to get his baggage. No one greets him. No one says hello. Someone on his overseas experience, perhaps. Wonder what he's seen. What countries he's been to. What experiences he's had. And we see these people. And we wonder about them, just as those people see us and wonder who he is, wonder what he does. We don't know. We don't know them. We surprise ourselves at times that we don't even know ourselves. We react in a situation that we thought we knew how we'd react, and in the event we're completely different. We spend our lives getting to know me, let alone other people. Our knowledge is so very limited. And yet, the God that we worship, the God who made the heavens and who made the earth, the God who, as we saw last week, is everywhere, all the time, is a God who knows absolutely everything. All those people that you may watch coming through from customs at the airport. He knows every one of them. He knows every detail about every one of them. He knows where they come from. He knows where they're going. He knows who it is that's greeting them. He knows who it is they've left behind. He knows what cares they have on their hearts. Because God is omniscient. He knows all things. Now, one theologian has defined this omniscience of God by saying this, that God fully knows himself and all things, actual and possible, in one simple and eternal act. God fully knows himself and all things, actual and possible, in one simple and eternal act. What on earth is he getting at? Well, let's examine his statement and look at some scriptures on which he's based his statement. Because God's knowledge is so unlike ours that we will not grasp it. We will not be able to understand God's knowledge. But maybe we can get a glimpse at what God's knowledge is like and be struck with awe and gratitude at his knowledge. So what does God's omniscience mean? Well, firstly, we're told that he fully knows himself. That's what Paul says in that passage that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He talks there about the wisdom that he's proclaimed. He's talking there to Greeks. He's talking to philosophers. He's talking to people or about people who think that they know. And he says, well, we haven't preached to you in the way that these philosophers do. We have spoken the wisdom of God. And what does he say? That God has revealed these things to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. No one in this world knows you as well as you know yourself, do they? Even those of you who are married. There are things that your husband or your wife don't know about you. The thoughts that go through your mind, they never know those. Perhaps you're able to share most of them with your spouse. But no doubt you don't share all of them with your spouse. He or she doesn't know you like you know yourself. And no one can possibly know God like he knows himself. But the great difference between us is that you don't know yourself fully, whereas God knows himself entirely. God is infinite. He has no limits. There's no end to his being. There was never a time when God didn't exist, and there will never be a time when God won't exist. He fills all things. Space cannot contain him. He is infinite in all of his attributes. He's infinite in his love, his mercy, his forgiveness. He's also infinite in his hatred of sin and in his anger. God is an infinite God, without limits, without beginning, without end. And yet God knows himself fully, absolutely. There's not the tiniest little speck that God doesn't know about himself. Now that ought to amaze us. In 1 John 1 and verse 5, John there speaks, writes to the churches and says to them, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Part of what John is saying there is that God is pure, that God is holy. There's no darkness in him in terms of there being no sin in him. You know how John in his gospel in chapter 3 talks about men having loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. We don't want them known. We want to hide them. So sinful acts are often done in the dark. But there's more to God than the fact that he is completely light in terms of being completely pure, completely free from sin, completely holy. It also has this idea that there is no aspect of God that is in darkness to himself. Again, this idea that he knows himself fully. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. He fully understands himself. He fully knows himself. Elihu, talking to Job, he said some rather nasty things to Job, but he also said some things which were very true. And one of the very true things that he said was that God is perfect in knowledge. His knowledge is perfect. It's all-encompassing. It doesn't fall short in any way at all, including his knowledge of his own infinite being. So God's omniscience refers to this fact that God fully knows himself. Secondly, God fully knows all things actual. Things that are. Things that happen. He knows everything about this world. Well, he made this world. So he knows the intimate details of every living thing in creation and every inanimate object as well. He knows every cell in every living form. He knows every molecule, every atom. It is all known to the God who made this world. The writer to the Hebrews tells us in chapter 4 and verse 30, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to his eyes, to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. No creature is hidden from him. He knows every creature that he has made. And you'll remember Jesus' words of comfort to his disciples in Matthew's Gospel and chapter 10. He tells them there, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. See the hundreds of sparrows that fly around our homes, and God knows every one of them. Not one of them dies without God's knowledge. God is intimately acquainted with the world that he has made. He knows everything about everything in this world. He knows us through and through. That's what the psalmist was saying in Psalm 139. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Before we even speak, God knows what we're about to say. That's amazing, isn't it? We sometimes think we know what someone's about to say. And sometimes we might be right. We might know the person well enough to be able to guess at what their reaction would be, how they're going to respond. But God knows everyone, and he knows every word, and he knows every thought. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. The knowledge that God has of us, we can never attain. Not even of ourselves. We cannot match it. And God knows not just what's happening, not just what's happening now at this moment, but he knows what will happen in half an hour, in half a year. He knows what's going to happen when the clocks turn at midnight on the 31st of December this year. He knows which power boards are going to have trouble with generating electricity. He knows which water companies are no longer going to be able to process waste and deliver clean water to our homes, if any. He knows all that's going to happen on that day. Oh, thank God we've got a God that we can trust in for that time, eh? Because God knows the future as well as he knows the past. As well as he knows the past. Not just sort of dimly, but as though it was already history. Such is God's knowledge. In Isaiah 46, Isaiah, writing to the people, tells them, speaking on God's behalf, I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done. And that's exactly what he did. He did declare it. It's not just some guess that we're making that God knows the future. We see it in the Bible itself. We see prophecies coming true that were made hundreds of years before. Names even of kings that would come that hadn't been born. They were generations away. Yet God named them in prophecy that they would do certain things. And those things came to pass. Jesus Christ was prophesied that he would come where he would be born, to whom he would be born, what sort of life he would live. Not one of those prophecies was less than 400 years before he came into the world. And yet they came true in every detail because God knew the future as well as he knows the past. But God doesn't just fully know himself. He doesn't just fully know all things actual. But God also fully knows all things possible. And if the other things weren't mind-blowing, this will be. Everything that could possibly happen in this world, God knows. He made this world. Well, he made so many different creatures that scientists are still discovering them. God knows them all intimately. God also knows every creature he could have made but didn't. Not just some of them. Not just that he thought, well, I might make that, but no, well, there's already something a little bit like it, so I won't bother. Every type of creature that he could have made, he knows about. You know how we do things and we think, well, I suppose I could have done that, or I could have done that, or you're planning something and you think, well, maybe I could do that, and in the end you don't do it. But there were 6 things that you never thought of that you could do. God has thought of everything that he could do, and he knows it. We have illustrations of it in God's word. In 1 Samuel and chapter 23, David is in Keilah and he's defeated the Philistines and he's there in that city. And Saul's after him and he wants to know what's going to happen. So he consults the Lord. And in verse 11 of 1 Samuel 23, or verse 10, David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, he will deliver you. They will deliver you. So David and his men, about 600, arose and departed from Keilah and went there wherever they could go. Then it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, so he halted the expedition. David asked, God, what is Saul planning? What's he going to do? Is he going to come down here? Yes, he's on his way. He'll come. And will these men here who I've saved from the Philistines, will they deliver me into his hand? Yes, they'll deliver you. But it doesn't happen. Never did happen. It isn't just that God knows what will happen. He knows what possibly could happen, but doesn't. Not just a few things, but everything. Just as he knows everything that does happen, God knows everything that could happen. We have another example in the New Testament. In Matthew 11, Jesus is speaking to the people of Bethsaida and of Capernaum. He's given them signs and wonders. He's preached the gospel to them. And he says to them in Matthew 11, verse 21, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." Not, it might have. Not if these works had been done there, even those Sodomites might have repented of their sins and might have been spared. No, Jesus says, this is definitely what would have happened if they had had the privilege of receiving these signs and hearing this word. Because God knows all that is possible as well as all that is actual. Such is the knowledge of our God. Well, it's inevitable that he knows everything possible as well as actual. If God knows himself fully, completely, and he is the God who both made this world and who sustains this world, then he will know all things that it is possible to know and all things that it is impossible for us to know, just as God is able to do things that are impossible for us to do. So God fully knows himself, and he fully knows all things actual, and he fully knows all things possible. And he knows all these things in one simple and eternal act. That is to say, God does not learn. How would you like that, kids? Never having to learn any lessons because you knew it already. God never has to learn. He never accumulates knowledge. He doesn't have to work at getting it. He knows. It's as simple as that. He always has known, and he always will know. There is not one thing that can be added to the knowledge of God. If that were the case, he would not be omniscient. God knows it all. He always knows all things. By that I mean that he doesn't have them lodged away in the back of his mind, that he somehow has to recall certain events as though they're filed away in some kind of divine filing cabinet. God is fully conscious of his complete knowledge all the time. Everything he knows, and he's conscious of it. Well, we can't understand it, can we? We know things for a time and we forget things, and other things get lodged away back there somewhere in our subconscious, and at appropriate times they come to our memories, but we're not conscious of them all the time. Even the knowledge we do have, we're not consciously aware of it being there all the time. But God is. He is always fully conscious of his knowledge. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 13 and 14, Isaiah tells us there, "Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him, With whom did he take counsel? And who has instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Well, there's no answer given because it's a rhetorical question. No one. No one has done these things because no one has needed to do these things. God's knowledge, as Elihu said, is perfect. It's unlimited. It's without any shortcomings whatsoever. God knows. And this difference between us and God, God describes in 55 and verse 9 of Isaiah. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He tells us, he has revealed to us in his word, the Bible, certain things about himself. Some of these things we cannot understand, just like this, his omniscience. It's taught there, but we cannot understand it because we don't have this same knowledge. We can think about it, we can ponder it, and we can be awed by it. But we do not fully comprehend it. Nevertheless, there are implications of God's omniscience for us. These aren't just nice little things to know about God, to dumbfound your friends with. Now, if God knows everything about us, he knows all our sins. Last week we saw that God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. Now, if God's everywhere, then he can see all things. Sees what we're doing, even in the most private place. But you see, God's omniscience tells us more about God's knowledge of us. It isn't just that he sees us. It isn't just that he hears the words that come tumbling from our tongue. God sees our hearts. He knows our motives. He sees the thoughts that run through our mind. All those things that, oh, you're so glad that they're never projected in front of other people, but they're always before God, always known to him. You know, we don't like people to know us too well, do we? We all wear masks. Some places it's more difficult than others. In our homes, it's very difficult to keep that mask in place. But we try. And we certainly try when we come out. We're uncomfortable when someone stares at us. You know, if you're sitting there in the airport watching people come through customs, you're reasonably okay watching them coming through. But those people coming through that door are all feeling very uncomfortable. All these people staring at me, feeling so self-conscious. We don't like people staring at us. We feel uneasy. We get tense and uncomfortable. You know, when someone phones you up and says, I need to talk to you, we get uneasy. What have they found out? What are they going to say? We don't like people to know us too well. Yet God knows us intimately. He knows every detail of our lives, of our thoughts, of our motives. It's like Adam and Eve in the garden, the beginning of time. There they were in that paradise that God had made for them. And we're told there that in chapter 2 and verse 25 that they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. They had no comprehension of sin or guilt. And this their physical nakedness is a symbol, a picture of the purity of their minds and of their hearts. They had nothing to hide, no mask to wear, because they were perfect. And then in chapter 3 and verse 8, we read that they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. The Lord called to them, called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked." Not just naked physically. He wanted a mask to cover his sins. But God knew what had happened. "Who told you that you were naked? Who gave you this knowledge, Adam?" Sin gave him this knowledge. God knows us. It's a reason to fear. God judged Adam and Eve for their sin. He knew it. He knew every detail of what they'd done. He called for their own confession, but he already knew what had happened. That passage, that verse that we read there in Hebrews 4 and verse 13, that all of nature, all of creation is naked before God, before the God before whom we will have to give an account. Again, it's this idea that God can see everything about us and we must give an account to him. There will be a judgment and we will have to explain to God what we did, why we did those things, what we thought, and why we entertained those thoughts in our minds. God's omniscience should strike fear into our hearts. But God's omniscience should also be a reason for joy, because it's his omniscience that brought about that plan of salvation. His perfect knowledge of all that would happen that brought him to plan out this wonderful way in which he would redeem his people to himself, that he would save them from their sins. In Genesis 3 and verse 21, God has just cursed Adam and Eve and the serpent. And we're told there, for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. Here it was, the covering for their nakedness, the mask, if you like, that they needed. The thing to hide from others, their sin. God made it for them. Isaiah 61, verse 10, Isaiah says, "You have clothed me with garments of salvation." To those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't stand before God naked. They're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Every sin is covered. God's knowledge is a joy to us because he knows the worst things about us. The very worst. The things that we would never confess to another living soul, God knows them about us. And yet, despite that knowledge, he loves those who trust in Jesus Christ. Despite that, there's not a single sin that we ever commit that God has overlooked. You know, we won't get to that judgment day trusting in Jesus Christ's righteousness, and then God will say, "Oh, look, I'm awfully sorry, but I didn't notice this sin, and it's just too bad for Christ's righteousness to cover. I can't forgive you." God knows the worst things about us. He knows everything about us. There's not a single sin that has been hidden from Him. And that should be a thing of great joy to those who trust in Christ. We can have confidence. God knows. Satan, my accuser, may taunt me with how vile I am. But God already knows. God knows me better than Satan knows me. God knows me, the iniquities in my heart that Satan wouldn't even dream of. And He's forgiven me through Jesus Christ. God is able to save to the uttermost those who come to Him through Christ Jesus. What a precious promise that is. No sin too great. God also knows the best things about us. Oh, it's all marred by sin, yes. But God knows when we try. God knows when we're doing our best. He knows our weaknesses. In Psalm 103 and verse 14, the psalmist there tells us, the Father pities His children. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows that we're not like Him. He knows where we've come from. He knows all the difficulties that we've had. He knows the sin and the sinful influences that have been there in our lives. God knows all of those things, and as a good father pities his children and makes allowances for their temperament and for influences that may have come into their lives. So God, He doesn't wink at sin, but He makes allowances for us because He knows us. And He knows when we're trying to please Him. God is a loving Father. God is the best Father. And God pities us as a father pities his children. He knows us. And God knows what He's going to do with us. He tells us. You all know Romans 8:28, where God promises that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. Do you know what that purpose is? Verse 29 tells us, for whom He knew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what He's going to do with us. Oh, you feel your sin. You know your unrighteousness. You're ashamed before God of all that you are. But God knows what He's going to make you. He's going to make you like Jesus Christ. He's going to make you perfect and complete in Him. God knows. What a wonderful thing then, as well as what a terrible thing, is God's omniscience. God knows your sins. Have you sought His forgiveness? Even those secret sins that no one else knows. He knows your struggles. Have you asked Him for help? He will withhold no good thing from those who ask Him. You know, a child may be struggling with a task and his father or mother is looking on, knows that they're struggling, but they're just waiting for that look, for that question, for that acknowledgement that help is needed. They'll let the child struggle for a while. And God is like that with us. He wants us to acknowledge that we need Him, that we need His help. He will come quickly when we call upon Him in any time of need. God knows our struggles. Ask Him then to meet them. And He knows our destiny. Are you trusting then His wisdom? And are you obeying His directions? If God knows us completely, if He knows all that we are, and if He knows what He wants to make us, He knows all that He's got to do with us to get us from where we are to where He wants to take us. And He knows the best way to do it. Will you trust Him for that? Will you lean upon Him? Will you follow Him and obey Him? His way is always the best way, because He knows all things. May He be praised. Amen.